Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on Sunday, August 11th, 2013. This is episode 1004. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Go to LegalZoom.com for affordable legal solutions you can trust. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney. But they're not a law firm. No, they're better. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the promo code TechGuy to get $10 off at checkout. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Yes, we talk technology here each and every weekend at this time. I'm so glad you joined me. Technology can be anything, you know, it doesn't have to be a computer, Windows or Mac or Linux, it could also be the internet. That's technology. Heck yeah. Could also be smartphones. Goodness gracious me, oh my. That's probably the most prevalent computer these days. The one in your pocket. We also talk about home theater, digital photography, anything with a chip in it. That's the show. Right there, in a nutshell. And thanks to Heather Hammond, it is Shark Week on the Tech Guy. Discovery Shark Week's going on right now, too. In fact, I have friends who work for Discovery because they worked for Revision 3, which Discovery bought the internet broadcaster. So they have to, like, my friends Patrick and Veronica had to wear a shark costume on their show.
Fun.
I'm glad I'd be kind of humiliated. But you've done it right. You've got a Jaws shirt on, or dress, or whatever that is.
And I know, it's so weird.
A shirt dress. Because it has the whole
swim cover-up.
Oh, maybe that's what it is, a swim cover-up. Sure, that's inspiring.
Really
jump in the water.
I'm not an extra small. I know.
It's the entire Jaws poster. Was that when we first became fascinated with sharks? Was Jaws the movie?
Oh, for sure.
What a scary movie that was.
Yeah.
Go well, ahead, anyway.
Say your favorite line.
We're going to need a bigger boat. It is the best line ever. I used it the other day, yesterday. On something.
We're
going to need a bigger boat. But I don't think my daughter got it. She's only 21. I don't think she really knew what I was talking about. She said, what do you mean, Daddy? A bigger boat? What? 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. You can call Heather and say, hey, I have a question or I have a recommendation, a suggestion. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. We also have a great website. TechGuyLabs.com, if I do say so myself. Actually, I could say that without false humility, only because I didn't do it. We had fabulous Lullabot designed and built it. And then James DeRuvo takes the show notes and Josh Windisch fills them in and adds audio and video. So I don't take any credit for that. That's really Josh and James and Lullabot's site. There's a link there to our chat room, too. By the way, all this is always free. I know there are other programs who will charge you for stuff, but thanks to our great sponsors, we don't have to. Sold out since 2004, so we don't have to. So we'll give it away. TechGuyLabs.com. Join the chat room. It's a lot of fun in there. Kind of like the kids in the back of the class mouthing off. But frankly, the chat room has a bigger responsibility. They also have to keep me honest and help me with the answers. You could be part of that. Team Tech Guy. It's all at TechGuyLabs.com. Well, the other shoe is finally dropping. We've been hearing this has been the summer of smartphones, hasn't it? Holy camoly. We've got new smartphones from Samsung, the Galaxy S4, from HTC, the HTC One, both of which are worthy contenders for the title number one smartphone, although the Galaxy S4 is the big seller right now. We also have a phone from, very nice, credible phone from the folks at Nokia, the Lumia. Well, there's the 925, But there's also the 1020 now, which is a 41 megapixel camera phone. Wow. That just came out. Motorola, which has been kind of a laggard, one of the few U.S.-based cell phone companies. There's two, Motorola and Apple, right? I can't think of anybody else. Motorola has announced its Moto X, which will be due later this month on all the carriers. Very interesting phone. I like it a lot. But what we're waiting for is the big guy, Apple. And now the news is out, and we know it's true because it was leaked to All Things D. And, you know, when the Wall Street Journal, and All Things D, their sister website, get material, it's usually, my opinion, from Apple. It's like Apple uses that as their official conduit. And Apple's looking at all these other phones. September 4th, we're going to see the Galaxy Note 3 from Samsung. And they're thinking, boy, you know, we haven't really been in the headlines lately. Not since June. What are we going to do? Oh, I know. Call Ina Fried over there at All Things D and give her the scoop. I have friends at other blogs. Renee Ritchie from iMore, which is another one of the really top Apple web rumor sites. He says right after Ina got the rumor, we got the same thing from a very trusted source. In other words, September 10th. I didn't tell you what the rumor was. September 10th. Apple will announce the new iPhone. And I think that's written in stone. Apple journalists I know are buying airplane tickets. That's how sure they are. This is the fact, Jack. So we have 1 month to wait to find out what Apple's got. And I can tell you some of the things people are thinking if you're wondering. You know, I think really it would be prudent, frankly, to wait until you see what Apple's got. And then you have a pretty good sense of the array of phones available for the second and third quarters or third and fourth quarters of 2013, because it's all going to change again, you know. These Android phones, you know, they multiply like rabbits. Here's what I think. There'll be two iPhones announced. iPhone 5S and iPhone 5C. The C will stand for color. A plastic-backed iPhone 5 that's less expensive, designed for the international market. And also for those folks, and there are quite a few of them, who still haven't bought an iPhone because it's too expensive. Of course, the real cost of the iPhone is the data plan, and that's not going down, unless Apple's made a deal. It's still, you know, we're talking $70, $80, $90 a month. We're talking $2,000 off of the life of the phone, the two-year life of the phone. So, you know, whether the phone is $100 or $200, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference when you know you're going to be spending $2,000 total for that thing. When you include data plan, it's expensive to own a smartphone. It's real expensive, much more so than a computer, frankly. The 5S, well, we don't know what the S will have. There's now a big rumor from one of the iPhone analysts, who's sometimes right, sometimes not. And this rumor has been persistent. Apple bought a company called Authentech last year that specialized in fingerprint readers. So everybody thinks they're going to have a fingerprint reader in the next iPhone. Wouldn't be the first in a phone, but if Apple does it, maybe ties it to the Apple Passport system, which allows you to buy stuff. Well, could allow you to buy stuff. Currently doesn't. You can't add a credit card to it. But if you could add a credit card to it, suddenly your iPhone with good, strong authentication could be a wallet. Could be your credit cards and everything in there. It's gonna have to be something like that to get people to sit up and take notice. It can't just be, oh, we improved iOS. iOS 7 is out, and that's about it. Oh, the camera, it's 10 megapixels now or something. That's not going to do it. Because the world has moved on in the year since Apple released its last iPhone. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, the pressure's on for Apple, isn't it? I know we talk a lot about smartphones, but really, this is where all the computer action is happening. It's not happening on desktops or laptops, is it? They're pretty much the same as they were last year. Windows 8, 8.1 will be out. Well, this is interesting. No one knows exactly when, but my friend Ed Bott, who really is a follower, a watcher of this stuff, says next week, Windows 8.1, the big, big upgrade to Windows 8, very important upgrade to Windows 8, will answer a lot of the problems critics, including myself, have with Windows 8, will be out for developers, which means there'll be a download version soon after, and it will start appearing on computers, he says, not till October. So if you're going to buy a new Windows computer, it won't matter. You can buy one today and you'll get the free upgrade. It'll be in the store, in the App Store on Windows 8. Pretty soon, I think, in the next month or so. And that's going to be, we'll see, but I think that's going to be an improvement that will answer some people's problems with Windows 8. At this point, it's hard to recommend a Windows 7 only because it's old. The future is with Windows 8, like it or not. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's my number. Okay, those are some of the things we could talk about, but you come up with your own topic. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Doris Day, yeah. 8888. Dig it. Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Heather Hammond, the Jaws girl. Do we, who should I, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What should I start? Who should I, like, look at it. We got Michael, we got Ben, we got Taylor, we got Paul, we got Jennifer, we got Carol.
Suddenly you're the romper room teacher.
I see.
Well, do you want to stick with smartphones?
I don't care.
Yeah, because let's do that. Jennifer in Laguna Niguel has a question for you.
Hi, Jennifer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
I'm calling because I know I'm probably one of the only people that doesn't have a smartphone about where I live.
No, you're not. You know, it's a good percentage, maybe a third of everybody. It's more than half now, though.
I haven't wanted to spend the money because I have high-speed internet and all the
And there you go. That's something that, you know, everybody talks about the cost of the phone up front. It's the cost of the phone over 2 years that really makes a difference.
Yes, and now I have an old LG just text phone,
yeah.
You know, but I'm paying $80 a month and I barely get the battery to stay up for
Why are you paying $80 a month for that?
That was my the plan for 2 years.
Well, that's rotten.
See, so I'm getting ripped off. That's what I'm thinking.
You are, because you don't, well, do you have data on that LG phone? Like, can you surf the net?
No, I could, but it's extra charge.
Over $80?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the phone company on that one?
On Verizon.
Well, I think you probably could go to Verizon and get a cheaper plan that would do much the same thing. But however, you say it's time for a new phone. You probably are due for a upgrade,
yes,
which means you only have to pay $200. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've never been an Apple user. I've always been more PC-based. So I was thinking of, like, you know, I've heard about the Samsung Galaxy or the new Note that's going to be coming out. People talk about that one or the HTC. So I'm just wondering, and then you talked about the Moto S.
It's challenging, isn't it?
It's for me to start with.
It's challenging. It is a very, and, you know, later this month, the HTC One will come to Verizon as well, making it a trifecta of wonderfulness. You don't.
Okay.
You have many choices.
There's always something new, so yeah. I'm like, oh no.
And yeah, waiting doesn't. In fact, this has been the same story in technology since 1972. That there's always going to be something new and better and faster the minute you buy one thing.
Buy the phone.
Yeah. Now Verizon. Let's see. I'm trying to think if they have a good Windows. What's their Windows phone? Because since you say you're a Windows person, you might want to look at Windows phone. I'll tell you why. Windows phone is kind of an also-ran in the smartphone business. Only about 4% of all users have Windows phones. However, for your first smartphone, it's not a bad choice. It's very clean, fast, easy to use. I really like the Windows phones for that. And frankly, you won't. One of the reasons people don't buy Windows phones is because they're coming from other smartphone platforms, and they say, "Oh, but yes, but I don't. You don't have Instagram or one of these apps that they're used to." But see, you're not coming from that, so you're not going to say what's missing. You don't even know or care.
Exactly. I mean, I know about them from. I'm a teacher, and I know about them from all the kids around me that are on them
24/7. Oh, you're a teacher.
Uh-huh.
Well, now there's some concern there because.
I know a lot about it, but I just don't use it.
What grade are you teaching?
I actually teach community college.
Okay, so you don't want to look too uncool.
They're very adept.
Yeah, and you don't want to look too uncool, do you?
Yes, that's the other thing. When they see my phone, they're like, "You don't have a smartphone."
They say, "You can't be so smart."
Yes, exactly.
It's like having an AOL.com email address. It dates you a little bit.
It does. See, that's it. So I'm like, I need to get up to the to speed.
Well, you can't go wrong. I bet you most of your students have iPhones.
Yes, and some have that between that and Samsung. Those are the two most popular. They all have iPhones or the Samsung.
And that's true nationwide. Those are the two big sellers, about 50-50.
Okay.
Do you want to use a camera, the camera on the phone?
Yeah, I would use the camera on the phone.
Do you want to, you'll want a text message, of course, and you may do some browsing on the browser, right?
Yes. Once I have it, then I'll use it, yes.
I think, now, Verizon has a couple of Windows phones that are really quite nice. They have the Lumia 928, which is specifically for Verizon. I had that for a while, and I thought it was quite nice, quite reliable. Do you use Outlook?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a reason not to get an Android or an iPhone, because Outlook doesn't work too well with those.
That's what I was wondering, because then it would be nice if I could actually check my email and stuff, because both my work and my home are Outlook.
Yeah. I think you really should look at, there's two Windows phones, you should go try them at Verizon. It's the 928, which has an excellent camera. It's a little big, a little thick, but you might not mind that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful phone.
Okay.
The other is the HTC 8X, which is a little less heavy, a little less thick, but both beautiful. I would go to the Verizon store and look at them. They'll be getting the new Droids soon, but I think those would be the best. Verizon does not have yet the 1020, which is an interesting phone, but that's AT&T only right now. So
I know. That's why I was looking. Yeah, I saw that, too. They all have their own little...
Yeah, everybody has their thing. But the 928, which is a very nice phone, I would think for you, you'll be a little different. Your students might think you're a little quirky, but they might also think you're a maverick.
Yeah, that's true. You know, they might. Exactly.
I think you'll like it.
They show me stuff all the time, and, you know, they ask me.
Well, see, then they're going to say, hey, how come, Miss Jennifer, you're not on Instagram? You'll say, because I'm on Windows Phone. So that's kind of not so good. So I would also look at the iPhone. Now, remember, there's a new iPhone. You'd really kind of be wrong to buy an iPhone right now. There'll be a new iPhone in a month.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so either I hold out.
I would wait a month.
The new iPhone is.
Yeah, I would in a month.
I go with Windows Phone.
In a month, when you go in the Verizon store, they'll have new Moto phones, the new Droids. They'll have the new Moto X. They'll have the HTC One. They'll have the iPhone 5S. They'll have like six new phones, and everything that I've just told you will be moot.
Well, they give me some idea of what features to look for, you know, for what I use.
I think the one that you might look at is the Moto X as well. That's going to be a very nice first phone. It's a clean Google experience. It's not junked up like the Galaxies are. And, you know, the students have the Galaxies because that's kind of the kind of brain they have. They're kind of pop culture fanatics.
Yes, exactly.
But I think I've kind of given up on the Galaxy S4. Too many features take up too much room that you never use. You know, the Galaxy S4, you can wave your hand over it. It pauses YouTube videos when you look away, not hold the phone somewhere, but it's looking at your eyes. And when your eyes look away, it stops. Who needs that? Come on. That's silly.
Well, I know. I was talking to someone who had it last night, and her apps have disappeared on it
exactly.
out of the blue. Weird things have been going on with her Galaxy, and she has a new one.
I'm no longer recommending the Galaxy S4.
Okay.
I would say that there will be, however, some really good phones if you can wait 1 month. Can you wait 1 month?
I can wait 1 month.
Oh, Jennifer, then call me and let me know which one you chose.
Okay, I will, Leo. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Jennifer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by our friends at LegalZoom.com. Hey, I got to tell you about LegalZoom. This is how you can get a lot of the legal work that you might say, oh, I can't afford because I can't afford a lawyer done. Things like a will. You don't have a will. Your assets, your children even, will be disposed of by the court, not by your choice. So make a will. If you're starting a business and you're not protected by a corporation or LLC, do it. $99. This is what I did. And we're still running on those papers, the limited LLC papers that I created. It's that easy. It's basically, a lot of this stuff is just paperwork. And if you have the right questionnaire, and LegalZoom will walk you through the creation, very simple online, you can do it. Most Americans don't have a will, but you got to have one. This, you know, is National Will Month or something like that. August. Through the month of August, you're going to get discounts on your last will and testament of 15% right now through the end of August. You can. Most people will finish this in just 20 minutes. Before the show's over, you will have a will, and you will feel much better. I know you've been thinking, why don't I actually get a will? And it's more than just a fill-in-the-blank form. It really is state-specific, personalized, based on your information. LegalZoom's been doing this for 12 years. They really are good at this. It is National Make-A-Will Month. This would be a good time. Save 15% off your last will or get a living trust. You'll receive a pour-over will absolutely free. But you got to get your discount by entering the offer code TECHGUY. Use the offer code TECHGUY. In fact, you get $10 off any LegalZoom product if you use the offer code TECHGUY. LegalZoom.com. And if you need help from an attorney, they've got the legal plan too. And that's great. Fixed rate for legal advice. Most cases, you're just going to go right through this 20 minutes later. You got a will. LegalZoom.com. Please do it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, Michael, in Norfolk, Virginia. Hello, Michael. Leo Laporte here. Michael. Oh, I got to push this button. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Leo.
What's up?
Just want to thank you for all that you do. I enjoy your network. I'm a mariner, and I spend a lot of time out to sea, and always before we get underway, I load up the old iPad with as many podcasts as I can and listen to you all the time out at sea.
I want to be a mariner. I just like the name mariner. I want that on my business card. What do you drive, I don't know, what do you say, do you drive a boat?
I'm a navigator.
You're a navigator for commercial traffic or Navy? Or
I'm a civilian mariner, but I work for the Navy.
How fun.
Yeah, all the naval auxiliary ships now, all the refueling ships, and I work on a towing and salvage vessel, but anything that's not a warship is manned by civilians these days.
Interesting. Now, when you navigate, you no longer use a sextant.
I do that because I like the art and the craft of it. We don't do it for operational.
You got GPS, but you know what? If the GPS is broken, I think it's good to have somebody on board who knows how to use a sextant.
That's right, and I have all the mates. I make sure that they all practice.
Right on.
Just for that reason.
Right on. I think that's so cool. And do you sight? You don't sight the sun. You could, right?
Yeah, we do sight the sun.
You do sight the sun.
We sight the sun in the morning, at sunrise, sunset, and at noontime.
How interesting. You know, I'm a big fan of the – I'm sorry, we're going completely off track, but we'll get to your question. I can't resist. When you said the word mariner, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Because I read all the Aubrey Maturin sailing novels, you know, and they take place in the early 1800s. When, of course, they have to sight the sun and know where the heck they are. And it's just fascinating to me. And he teaches all the young boys on board, the cabin boys, that, you know, how to do that, because they need to know that. It's really fabulous. So I'm glad to know it's not a dead art. This is it's a interesting metal device. You have to know the exact time, though, don't you?
Yes, that's very important.
Read an excellent book called Longitude that's the history of this, because without an exact chronometer, you can't really know where you are.
Yeah, well, they were able to do latitude for centuries.
Right, it's the longitude.
They couldn't do the longitude.
Right.
That was the problem.
Right, fascinating.
So, but therein lies part of my problem. Spending so much time out to sea, I don't want to be paying the phone company $90 a month.
Because you're not there.
For a phone.
And I don't think 3G goes out in the middle of the Atlantic. No.
Well, I have myself a little track phone, and when I need minutes, I spend $30 or $40, and it works just fine.
Right.
But I'm in love with the Nokia Lumia 1020.
Oh, isn't that amazing? This is the phone we were talking about earlier. It's got a 41-megapixel camera in it.
Yeah, and I started reading Paul Thurrott's book.
The thing is just
awesome.
I agree.
And it says it has Wi-Fi, and that's my question. Can I buy the thing? And I looked on Amazon. They're selling it for $600-something without a contract.
Right.
And I'm wondering if all the features on the phone are going to work on the Wi-Fi.
You bet. Everything except, of course, making a phone call.
That's what I wanted to be sure of before.
All of these smartphones will work without SIMs, or buy a SIM, but just turn off data and use it as a Wi-Fi. It's basically a tablet.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Since I'm in so many countries, when I'm in Spain or Greece or wherever, I can pick up a local SIM, I'm thinking, and pop it in there.
The thing to watch out on that, and I presume the Nokia is good in this regard since it's made in Finland, but the thing to always pay attention to, first, step one, you're right, unlocked. That means no carrier has said it's ours. If you get an AT&T Lumia 1020, it will only work on AT&T's network unless they unlock it, and they will unlock it for you if you're in good standing. But if you buy it unlocked, as you're proposing, then you could pop in a SIM card. And the other thing to make sure is that it supports the data bands you want to use in the countries you're going to. I don't know of any phone that has every frequency, although they're getting better because...
Well, it looks like it does.
It may.
Spec sheet, and they have just dozens
it,
of them.
It may. You probably, you know, you may go to some oddball places... You know, Sumatra.
Now, the one I saw on Amazon did say AT&T without contract.
That's not the same as unlocked.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Get unlocked, and that's right. That is not the same. That's locked to AT&T, but you're paying full price, so you don't have a contract.
So they'll unlock it, or is there somewhere I can go to buy it unlocked?
They will unlock it, but it'd be better off to buy an unlocked one. And I'm pretty sure I buy my unlocked phones from a company called... Actually, Amazon Wireless often has unlocked, so you can check. But if they don't have an unlocked one, they may just have... You may have found the listing for the AT&T one, but they may also have an unlocked one. And then I also buy from a company called Expansys, E-X-P-A-N-S-Y-S. And they tend to have – they only sell unlocked phones. Let me just see if they have the 1020 yet, though. See, this may be – I don't see it. And it may be that AT&T has an exclusive for a period of time on this.
Yeah.
I do not see it on Expansys. So AT&T has said that if you're good standing, but you have to have a contract.
Well, I have an iPad with them, but it's the original, and I don't want to give this thing up. It's, right. I've got the unlimited data plan on there.
There are apparently no unlocked models out and about, so you're going to be you have to throw yourself on the mercy of AT&T, which sounds painful, and have them unlock it. But they have always said, if you're in good standing, you know, you will unlock your phone. You say, "I'm a Mariner." That should unlock a lot of doors. I'm a Mariner. I travel the world. You join the Navy to see the world. What did you see? You saw the sea. And I don't have 3G on the C. So can you unlock this sucker? And they might unlock it for you. You're going to be throwing yourself on the mercy of AT&T, which I hate to do. There will be an unlocked one eventually. When are you leaving, tomorrow?
I'm here for another week. I'm in port.
Okay, so that's one of the advantages of Amazon. You can get it in a couple of days.
Well, I went to the AT&T store, and they don't even have the thing. They say, "Oh, we don't show the
some do."
Windows phone. They said nobody's interested in them, and blah blah. And I said,
arrow to the heart.
That's kind of crazy.
Some do. So my local AT&T store does, and if you look, they will tell you which stores have it in stock.
Yeah.
So some do, and then the trick is to say, "Hey guys, look, I want to buy this phone. I'm an AT&T customer. I'm in good standing, but I want to unlock it because I travel." Looks like Amazon. I'm getting a link from the chat room that Amazon. But I have a feeling that this is pre-order. There is an unlocked black. Yeah, it's from, okay, so these are from third parties. I'd be a little nervous, you know, but and they're expensive. They're charging a premium for the unlocked. I don't believe it.
I'll try AT&T.
You're a good customer. They should you can say, when I get back, I'm going to put a SIM in it. Or you can get a SIM in it now. Just say, I want to unlock so I can, they'll do that.
Okay.
They want your business, and they want you to buy that phone. Maybe not.
Well, their mouth will start watering when they know I go international all the
there
time.
There you go. Oh, yes. Hey, and by the way, I'm not going to buy I'm going to go all over the world and get charged huge amounts of money by AT&T for using international.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell them.
Thanks, Leo. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate talking to you. It's nice to talk to you, Michael.
Enjoy your vacation.
Safe travels. Thank you.
Thanks.
I love boats. I want to be a Mariner when I grow up. You know, the only reason I'm not a Mariner now, you can't do a radio show in the middle of the ocean. I would do it. I want to do pirate radio.
We got to fix that.
Can I do pirate radio like
yes,
that movie?
That is the next thing. I am so with you.
We need a twit boat.
I got seasick pills. Let's go.
Welcome to the Tech Guy Boat. We're in the middle of the Adriatic Ocean. I want to do that. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. So we have Marianne and Ginger all in one. Actually, you can, well, no, I don't know. I guess it just depends. We're trying to plan our, the twit radio boat, the radio station at sea.
See, some days I'll wear my hair like that and I'm Marianne.
Then you're Marianne. And then when you wear the elegant gown, yeah, you're Ginger.
And Ginger.
That's nice. We should bring you because you could be both. Saves on fuel. I wish this guy had not said that word. Mariner. Now it's going to be in my brain for the rest of the
we
week.
Totally went off the rails in a good way.
I subscribe to yachting magazine. I have fantasies of doing this show from a boat.
Wow.
I even specced out a boat that could have a studio in it. But the problem is all about internet access. So the issue would be not internet, but well, internet essentially, because I need high speed connectivity. So we could do the radio show. And the problem is most of that's satellite. And the real problem with satellite is it takes a long time to get up there and a long time to get back down. And that adds what we call latency. So when I'm taking a phone call, the person asks a question, and 2 seconds later I'd answer it, and that wouldn't work. It'd be too laggy. I know.
Yeah.
We pre-select our callers at a port, and we just put them on the boat with us.
Yes.
Yes. Solves the latency issue.
I love it. And I get to pick. You get to come with. You go. Walk the plank.
Now I get to say it. We're going to need a bigger boat. Ben in Sanford, North Carolina. Hi, Ben. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hey, Leo. Big fan. Another big fan. Watching you since the Tech TV days.
Thank you.
Yeah. My parents are going to Las Vegas in about 9 days. And my mom has been asking me whether she should get a Windows 8 tablet or a Android tablet to take with her.
It's a no-brainer unless she needs to use Microsoft Office or something like that. For $229, she can get a Galaxy, not a Galaxy, get a Google Nexus 7. $229. It is the most capable, the fastest, the best-looking laptop, I'm sorry, tablet at that size. It's a no-brainer.
Right. But the thing is, my mom's eyesight is kind of getting worse. Ah. So the smaller the screen, the harder it is to see.
She wants a big one, yeah. Well, they have dropped the price on the Surface RT quite a bit. And is she use Windows now?
Yes, she has a Windows 7 laptop.
You know, Windows RT might not be a bad choice for her. What does she want to do in Vegas with the?
Pretty much just send emails.
Email, yeah. And if she gets the type cover, it's kind of like a laptop. But RT is less expensive. You know, the Surface RT for $350 is actually a pretty good deal. Now you're going to have to add a $100 keyboard to that. So
right.
So now it's closer to $500. I think that's, you know, does she need a keyboard? Does she need to be able to type on a physical keyboard?
It isn't a deal breaker, but it would be preferred.
Yeah. You know, I hate to recommend a Surface RT, but in this case, this is actually probably the perfect use case for it.
Because in a weekly ad I saw today, one store was selling a Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 with keyboard for $350.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's probably that student edition that they were trying to sell a little while back.
Yeah, it's old. You know, the Galaxy Tab 2 is a little older now.
Well, just root it, put CyanogenMod on.
Oh, okay. You didn't tell me you were an Android hacker. That does change it a little bit because you can help her. Yeah, you can help her be the state of the art.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know, you're saving $150. I'm telling you, she's going to be much more at home with Surface RT because it comes with Microsoft Office. So she's going to be using her, except it doesn't come with Outlook, oddly enough. But she's going to be using.
I've seen a Asus VivoTab Smart.
Those are cheap,
that comes
too.
With Office.
Yeah, those are cheap, too. And you know, that's fine, probably, for what she wants to do. You know what's going to add up? The Wi-Fi in the hotel.
Right.
They really, That is, it's a profit center, I guess, is the words they would use. $20 a night, 5 nights, you spend $100 on something that cost them a couple of pennies.
Right.
So yeah, profit center. It's probably as profitable as the keynote table.
Well, my mom loves the slots.
So there you go. She's pumping money into the Vegas economy anyway. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. She can calculate the odds on her Android tablet. You know, it sounds like you're predisposed towards Android because you love Android and you know how to hack it and all that stuff. But I have to say,
yeah,
for
lately, I've been thinking about getting a Windows phone just to try it out, and since it's different.
Wuck 1982 in the chat room says, if you order the Surface RT refurbished from the Microsoft website, they'll throw in the keyboard for $350. See, I think mom, she likes Windows. She's used to Windows. It's going to be Windows. She's going to be used to it. I think it's probably a better choice. And by the way, there's some great slot machine apps for Windows RT.
But she also has an Android phone.
Oh! Well, I think, you know, how do they say it? Six of one and pick 'em or something? What's the gambling term for that? It's pretty much even on either side. Since you can support Android, fabulous. The Nexus probably is too small a screen. You probably do want to get a 10-inch for her.
Right.
There's certainly more future in Android. I don't even think this Surface RT, I think it's dead as soon as they sell them all. That's it. You know, it's gonna do what she expects it to do is the advantage. So,
right. She was originally looking at the eight inch Acer that just came out not too long ago. And I was like, yeah, it's just too small.
Yeah, if her eyesight's bad, probably a good idea to get something a little bigger. Nexus 10 is on sale because they've got a new one coming out any minute now. I think RT, I hate to say it, but I given the use case, and this is people often say, oh, Leo, you always recommend X, depending on whatever they don't like, right? Oh, you know, if they're Apple fans, you always recommend Android. If they're Android fans, oh, you always recommend Apple. And I don't always recommend anything. You got to listen to what people want to do with it and find the right tool for the job. You can't always recommend a hammer if what you need is a screwdriver. And I think a Surface RT. The reason I hate to recommend it is I think it's at the end of the line. Microsoft already is taking a $900 million write-off on the Surface RT, saying that's how much we lost. They're hardly selling any Surface RT or Pro, any of their hardware at all. But that doesn't mean they're getting out of the business. I really don't think that. I think that there'll be a Surface RT 2, which I don't know if that's going to make it any better. But as soon as they sell these off, they're going to try something else. They're so committed to this that it's hard for them to back down without looking like fools. Of course, when you lose $900 million on a business, you look like a fool anyway, don't you? It's kind of too late. Carol, Orlando, Florida. Hi, Carol. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
I'm having an issue with downloading and watching your podcast from all your different shows there. If I download the high-def version, the video freezes up frequently.
What are you watching it on?
It's a PC hooked to my TV. It's an AMD Athlon 2 X3 processor.
Yeah. You know, there's two reasons downloaded video. I'm not going to make this just about my network, but just in general. There's two reasons downloaded video might fail. One is if it's compressed in a format you don't have. In that case, it won't play at all. Freezing up like that usually means the machine is choking. It's too busy doing other things, or it doesn't have enough horsepower to play it back. You say the lower quality plays back fine?
Yes. The large files will occasionally freeze, and it's just momentarily, and I can hear the video audio.
It's catching up. So it wasn't so long ago that high-def video like that you couldn't play at all, so it's just an older machine that's not keeping up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, talking about smartphones and computers and the internet and all the technical doodads and gee-jaws and gimcrackery that's making our life both better and worse, up and down. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Anywhere from inside the U.S., that's toll-free. Now, outside, you still can call me, just use Skype. When you Skype, call an 800 or a toll-free number in the U.S., it still doesn't cost you anything. We get callers and listeners from all over the world. Thanks partly to this thing called the Internet. Our show is streamed and downloadable all over the world at techguylabs.com. You know, I was thinking, our last caller said she downloaded our video, but sometimes it would freeze. And maybe I was being too literal, because download to me sounds like you've got the whole thing on your computer or your iPad or whatever you're viewing it on, and you're playing it back locally. So if she downloaded it onto her computer and was playing it back and it was hesitating, then that might mean that the computer wasn't being able to, you know, just couldn't play it back fast enough. The hard drive's too slow, the processor's too slow, or maybe it's doing something else at the same time. But a lot of people, you know, it's my fault, may confuse the term streaming versus download. And perhaps that's what she was doing. Streaming is also a download, but instead of waiting until the whole file's on your hard drive and playing it back from the hard drive, you start playing as it's downloading. That's called streaming. In fact, most of the time when you stream, you don't even save it onto your hard drive. You just, you know, you download it and play it immediately. No copy is saved. Although in some cases you can stream and download at the same time. So if she was streaming but called it downloading, well, then there are other reasons why you'd get that hesitation. And it has to do, not necessarily, it could be, have to do with your processor and performance and so forth, but more likely has to do with the speed of your internet connection. All streaming downloads, audio and video, do something called buffering. It's a way of making it not hesitate and stutter. Unfortunately, it often does that. The idea is that the internet's not completely reliable. Even if you have a lot of speed, sometimes packets, little chunks of the data, get lost or delayed in transit. If they're merely delayed, well, if you get ahead, you can recover, because you can, you know, if you're 30 seconds ahead and a packet gets delayed 5 seconds, no big deal. You'll play it when it gets, you know, when it needs to be played 25 seconds from now. So buffering takes care of internet inconsistencies where the internet might delay packets or things might get messed up. If, however, your internet connection isn't in general fast enough and all the packets are getting delayed, it won't take too long before that buffer gets used up, that 30-second buffer. And then the stream will stop because it can't keep playing. It doesn't have enough data to keep playing. And rebuffer. It will stop for 30 seconds or whatever the buffer size is, gather that much of the content, and then start playing again. And that's so, the theory being, it might stop once every few minutes to rebuffer, but that's better than stuttering, which is what it would do. If you're watching in real time as the packets come in and a packet's delayed 5 seconds, the video freezes for 5 seconds. Then the packet arrives. Now you play it, because you have to play them in order. If you don't play video in order, it makes no sense at all. So it could well be that she was calling it downloaded, but it was buffering. If it buffers, then you have a couple of alternatives. One, the best one, is probably just to download it. All of our shows and most other shows like this, well, I shouldn't say most. Many other shows like this are downloadable. You download and play them from your hard drive. Generally, that'll solve the problem. You don't get buffering from your hard drive because your hard drive's fast. But then for copy protection, for instance, Netflix, there's no way to download a movie on Netflix. You have to watch streaming. And they do that for a reason. The movie company's worried you're going to steal it. If you download it, then you can give it to a friend. So Netflix doesn't let you save it. You can only watch it as it comes in. And you may notice it takes a while for Netflix movies to start. That's because it doesn't tell you it's buffering, but that's what it's doing. It's getting a little bit ahead. Same thing on iTunes. Same thing on Amazon streaming. Any streaming video service will take some time before the movie starts. That time is spent downloading the content ahead of time so that it doesn't stutter, so that it in general will play. Now, I've had situations where my bandwidth isn't sufficient to play high-def video on Amazon. The video starts stuttering, and eventually the player will say, hey, you know what? You don't have enough bandwidth. Would you like to go down to standard definition? And if you do, it generally fixes it. So this is tied to how much data you're getting. High-def, of course, these are bigger files. And how fast your internet is. If in order to play back, I'll give you an example. If in order to play back a high-def video, you have to have a megabit a second download speed, and your internet isn't consistently a megabit, sometimes it's 900 kilobits, then the movie isn't going to play back. You got to watch a lower quality version. HD typically takes around a megabit to 1.5 megabits per second to watch, but SD takes half that. So you just step down. If the internet's busy in your neighborhood, as it often is at night, you know, because so many people now are streaming movies. Netflix is 40% of all internet traffic in prime time. Your neighbors are probably watching Netflix. And in many cases, that means your neighborhood is slow. And you may have noticed that Netflix doesn't play as well in the times you want to watch it in prime time as it does early in the morning. That's why I watch all my movies at 8 a.m. Always the best time. 8888 Ask Leo. So I apologize if I didn't give you, Carol, the complete answer. Depends on whether you're downloading or streaming. If it's streaming, it's kind of normal. And it's just a factor of the bandwidth you have. You should watch a lower quality version. I'm sorry. Or get more bandwidth. Kevin in Memphis, Tennessee. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Been a big fan for a long time.
Thank you.
I'm looking for an alternative for, like, Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop now that they're going to this cloud model subscription thing. It just seems like it's going to be extremely pricey. It's like $40 a month to get those two alone.
Right. Well, the theory being, okay, Adobe Photoshop is $800, and if you're paying $40 a month, you're paying around $480 a year. You know, every 2 years you get a new copy of Photoshop. It's about the same. It's not, though. You're right. So Adobe's pushing everybody towards this subscription. They call it the Creative Cloud, where instead of buying products, you actually rent them. Yeah, and if you don't pay every month, you can't use the product anymore.
Yeah, it just seems like it's a good model for them, but not such a great
model. Microsoft's wanted to do this for years. I suspect they will start doing this with Windows. The key is pricing. If Adobe had made it $10 a month, you would have no problems with it.
Honestly, I could even see $20 a month, right. But $40, that's a pretty big gap.
And that's the key, is you got to price this right. You know, Microsoft is doing this with Office. It's about $8 a month for Office 365. And I feel like the $100 a year I'm paying for that is fine. That's a reasonable amount. I can install it on 5 computers. So I don't complain, and I think they're going to do the same thing. Windows 9, there won't be one. It'll just be a subscription, you know. But Adobe blew it, as they often do, one of the poorest-run companies ever, by charging $40. So a lot of creatives, their thinking is, yay, you know, you're doing graphics design at a big firm. The firm can afford that. It's really the individuals. It's the individuals who are really disadvantaged by this.
Yeah.
And I suspect that they will have to rethink this, but we'll see. They're so afraid of piracy, frankly, that this is really partly a reaction to that. And I think that's a mistake as well. I think a lot of people who use Photoshop started with pirated versions, got to know it, got to love it, and now buy it because they can afford to. They're no longer impecunious students. Cool. Anyway, there are alternatives. Are you on a Mac or a PC?
I'm on a PC.
The most powerful alternative, of course, is the GIMP, the GNU Image Manipulation Program, which is intended to be an open source Photoshop.
Well, I just need to do like basic photo editing and then some graphic stuff that I may have to vectorize.
We got to take a break. Hang in there. Let me ask the chat room for their recommendations, and we'll have them for you right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. Now, that's something else that's cool. You know, the truth is, I think a lot... Oh, now, see, now, you're in the way, robot. Would you mind leaving? Thank you. I've got a commercial to do. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. You don't need to go to the post office anymore. Why? When you can get your own postage, buy it and print it anytime, 24/7, postage on demand from Stamps.com. And you don't need, and this is really important, an expensive postage meter to do it. I've been recommending Stamps.com for years. You can use your own computer, your own printer. We've been asking Stamps.com listeners for recommendations. I got Carl Fink. His business is Acura Music Incorporated. We asked him if we could tell the world about it. He publishes classical music and music books. It's a small company. Carl does it all, runs the business, has to do the mailings. He says, I used to use a postage meter, but it didn't calculate postage. It doesn't let me know when the postage rates have changed. And it was always running out of ink, and the ink was expensive. And boy, I can vouch for that. Postage meter ink is like 100 times more expensive than inkjet ink, which is already overpriced. I can't say what it is. It's not good. Carl heard me talking about Stamps.com as a better alternative, and he tried it out. He says, with Stamps.com, he can package and ship everything so much easier. It's easy and fast to buy more postage. He can print stamps, shipping labels, envelopes that are addressed and stamped, and international mailings with customs forms. He doesn't have to deal with that expensive postage meter or wait in line at the post office. Carl, I'm glad you love Stamps.com. What a nice story. Now, you could try it, too. We've got a no-risk trial for you. $110 bonus offer. It includes that digital scale that automatically calculates the postage. It'll weigh your letters and packages up to $55 in free postage, too. When you go to Stamps.com, don't click the $80 offer. Click the microphone in the upper right. Use our offer code TECHGUY, T-E-C-H-G-U-Y, in that form. And it'll be a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage. Hey, Carl, I'm glad you liked it. Acura Music Incorporated. And I hope you all will do the same as Carl and get rid of that postage meter. Try Stamps.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask. Leo is just showing Heather and our home audience the Double Robotics remote control robot that uses an iPad. It's not cheap. It's $2,500, which is a lot. But if you think about it, for a telepresence robot, that's not a whole lot. It's like a little Segway, a stick Segway, and it's got an iPad case in the top. And you slot the iPad in there, and then it uses the camera on the iPad. Actually, it uses both cameras on the iPad. It uses one camera to look at where it's going, and the other one, they have a little clever mirror device that lets you look at the feet. As you're steering around, sometimes you need to look at the wheels to see if you're hitting something. So you can steer, and then you can control it from another iPad, from an iPhone, or from a Chrome browser, anywhere in the world, because it's using the internet. So as long as the iPad has internet connectivity, and that could be LTE as well as Wi-Fi, you can control it and have a telepresence. So you could put this thing in the Louvre, for instance, and go around and looking at pictures.
This has great applications for maybe handicapped people.
For handicapped folks, you'd have a presence that could get around. It doesn't steer around really well, but you saw when we were playing the video. I was able to get around.
I hope that wasn't offensive because you'd rather actually go to the Louvre, but...
Well, no, but I think that's, Google Glass is being used that way. My friend Trey Ratcliffe does photo walks, people who can't get out of the house for one reason or another, disabled or whatever. They will watch the video and go along on the photo walk. Because Trey's wearing the glasses. They could see what he sees.
Well, my mind is appropriately blown. I like it.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought $2,500, I have a little bit of a budget here at the Tech Guy Labs for buying crap like this. That, just because you got to test, somebody's got to test it, right? You can read about it. It seems cool. It won an award at CES. But until somebody actually uses it in real life and says to you, you know what, this isn't worth it. So that's what we have a budget for, to buy this kind of stuff and try it and see what it offers. And in this case, I'm pleasantly surprised. This thing does really work. It does need, and somebody in the chat room says, Byte 3 in the chat room says, you need an optional self-defense module. Maybe lasers on it.
Yeah, right.
But I just think it's very stable. It's like a Segway. It does roll around. It has a kickstand. So once you get where you're going, you can put down the kickstand and it's even more stable. I think it's a pretty neat thing. Now, you need an iPad. What I also think is very interesting is it wouldn't be $2,500 if it didn't have the iPad. So it comes without a brain, but you supply the brain. And in a way, this is a synergy between two very innovative, brilliant things, the iPad and then this kind of Segway-like two-wheeled robotic device. And because the iPad exists, they could make this. And I think that's fabulous. Really, really fantastic. They say it goes a few hours, the charge. We were able to drive, you saw it on the video, all the way around. I went outside. I was panhandling.
What will be the next sort of improvement on it?
Lasers wouldn't be bad.
A little basket.
I could put a basket. I don't know how.
No,
you know what? I should
like
see.
I would like a ham sandwich and then put it in a basket and bring it back to yourself.
All right. We're going to try that. Field trip. Let me see if I can buy lunch with the Double Robotics.
And then you can just fire John.
I could put $20 in the basket. See if it makes it.
You have your credit card over there.
Yeah. Or give him my credit card.
Have an account.
Anyway, it's interesting. $2,500 does not include the iPad. You supply the iPad. The software that goes on the iPad from Double Robotics is free. It does charge by plugging in to the wall, lithium ion batteries. It's just, we're so inoculated against awe and amazement anymore, because we are constantly bombarded by amazing things. And, people go, oh, yeah, it's a robot, walks around, has a computer in it. I can see it. 10 years ago, if you'd show me that, my jaw would have hit the floor. Now it's like, yeah, but it needs a laser.
Right. Everybody's comic book store guy.
Yeah.
They're always looking at how it could be
better.
Well,
I don't know. I think it would be better if it had ears.
Yeah.
It does have ears, by the way. You can hear people talking to you. The microphone on the iPad picks that up. They can hear you. You're sending to the iPad. So you can have a conversation. They see your face. It is somebody, VQ, saying, wasn't this on Big Bang Theory? That's the other geek reaction. Oh, yeah. Sheldon built that 2 years ago on Big Bang Theory. That's a TV show, folks. It's fiction. This is fact. All right. So we were looking for alternatives to Adobe Photoshop for our caller, Kevin, who is in Memphis. And, Kevin, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. First of all, I have written down some choices that were given to us by the chat room. But I'm also going to refer you to a website that I just love called Alternative 2. And the idea is that you know there's a program you want that it's too expensive or for whatever reason, you want to look for alternatives. So you go to alternative.to and you type in, let's say, Creative Cloud. I bet you there's quite a few entries. Now, this is a crowdsourced solution. So people have, it says, we have no alternatives for this right now. Well, maybe I'll just put in Photoshop. You said you want to do Vector, too. And that's part of the problem is you could get Photoshop, Creative Cloud Photoshop for $20 a month. But because you also need Adobe Illustrator, now it gets more expensive. And in fact, you have to step up to a bigger package. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong one. Alternative2.net. I always do that. Alternative2.net. That's got all the answers. This is somebody just taking advantage of a name confusion. So it's alternative2.net. You choose the operating system, and then you can type in. So let me give you a few choices. I mentioned the GNU image manipulation program, and there's, by the way, an extension for that that makes it look just like Photoshop. And it does do vector. I'm seeing the chat room saying xara.com for vector graphics. Pixelator, Pixlr. Inkscape. We'll put these all in the show notes at Tech Eye Labs. Paint.net. There are a lot of good free choices out there. Pixlr.com. Pixlr. This is an online photo editor. For Windows and for professional work, this is a little more challenging. Of course, Adobe's going to say, well, we offer Photoshop Elements. That's only $80. And in some cases, that might do a lot of what you need to do. But if you're a pro, they kind of got you. They've got you over a barrel. Because there really isn't anything that's as good as Photoshop plus Illustrator, in my opinion. XARA is a commercial product. There's a number of programs on the Mac. Pixelmator, Acorn. I think probably nothing is quite as good as Photoshop plus Illustrator. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue to collect alternatives. I do recommend alternative2.net. We'll continue to collect alternatives, and we'll put them all in the show notes for you. Alternative2.net and then the various show notes. And I'm with you, Kevin. I think that's very frustrating. And Adobe doesn't really give you much alternative. They're right. They're a commercial company. They could charge as much as as they want. The question is, what will the market bear? Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Rob and Tarzana. How you doing,
Hello,
Rob?
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Rob.
Got a question.
All right. We got to take a break. Hang in there. We'll be right back after this word. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Did Dr. Dean Adel recommend that lime into coconut? Was that his standard?
For sure, all the time.
Yeah. Just put the lime into coconut. You're such a silly woman.
And then he'd say, but don't call me in the morning. You'll be fine.
I'm going to do it, Dina Dell. You ready? We have a doctor in the chat room, Dr. Mom.
Right.
And she sent me a study from neurology.org that says cognitive impairment is improved by a daily cup of cocoa. Significantly, noticeably, double-blind test, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, great.
Yeah, over 30. Yeah, you know, because you worked for Dr. Dean for 11 years. You know what that means? That means good. Double-blind.
Filled with antioxidants as well.
Something.
I think Dr. Mom will back me up on that.
Phenylamine and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it helps with cognitive impairment. So I don't know if chocolate bars would work as well as cocoa. I don't know. They just did it with cocoa. I'd like, how do you get in on a test like that? You know, sometimes they want to try out a drug, your hair is going to fall out and stuff, but sometimes they just give you a cup of cocoa. That's the kind of medical test I want to participate in. I am going to move on. Let's see. How about Paul in Santa Monica? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Leo. I have a problem with my display being oversized. My page, I can't see the bottom of the page.
It overdoes it. It gives you too much on one little screen.
Yes. I can't see the bottom of the page. Now, I know how to reduce the resolution.
Yeah.
But I can't see the bottom of the page to apply the lower resolution.
Yeah, it's not really a resolution issue. It's a refresh rate issue. So if you drive a monitor inappropriately, it's inappropriate driving, the monitor will have problems like that. So it's not that the resolution is wrong necessarily. It's probably that the refresh rate is wrong. Probably that you have the wrong driver for the monitor. Sometimes, though, you should look in the settings on the monitor. In fact, the first thing I would do is go to the monitor settings. And most monitors will have buttons that you can change the size of the screen and the position of the picture on the screen. If you have such settings on yours, I would play with those. You can reduce the horizontal and vertical size. You can move the picture around. Do that until you get the screen as small, you know, as much of the screen as possible. You might even have an auto button that would do this automatically. Auto adjust or calibrate. Just depends on the age of the monitor. Could be it's an old enough monitor that it's just not responding properly. It's broken. But the first thing I would do is I would try resetting the monitor physically with buttons on the monitor menu, to reduce the horizontal and vertical size of the screen. If there's an auto button, try that. And then if not, if your PC has drivers, if you have an NVIDIA card, for instance, there will be an NVIDIA program. And that will be in the center, not at the bottom of the screen. So you'll be able to see that and try different refresh settings. Because the right refresh setting will make a difference as well. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number to call. Thanks for the call, Paul. We got Jack in Riverside. Hi, Jack. Oh, Jack's having a party. Hello, Jack, are you there? We'll just put that on hold for a moment. I'm sorry, Jack, but I can't hear you. Donnie in Cypress, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Donnie.
Hey, Leo. Good
yes,
morning.
Sir. Good morning.
Hey, I have a question regarding home surveillance equipment, software, and hardware.
Okay.
Hey, I looked at various brands, and many of them talking about their operating system doesn't tell you what it runs on or it's in-house proprietary.
Right.
But some of the higher-end ones, more costly, I guess, run on a version of Linux called Linus.
L-I-N-U-S?
Correct.
Not familiar with that. Might be specialized for that particular hardware, that kind of thing.
Okay, so you, I was relying on you to give me a.
I've never, you know, Linus is the name of the guy who created Linux. That's why it's called Linux.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with a Linus distribution. In fact, I'm looking and I don't see a Linus distribution, so I'm wondering what that is. There is no Linus distribution to my knowledge. So now I'm puzzled. Generally speaking, this is self-enclosed hardware, right? It's
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a DVR, but it's running its own operating system. You really shouldn't worry too much about what the operating system is, as long as it's reliable. If it is a Linux, it's going to be more reliable than it's, say, Windows. You don't have to search too far on the internet to find cases of blue screens of death on giant screens in Las Vegas or airport annunciators. You can always tell when somebody's running Windows. Typically, stuff that's got to run day in, day out reliably will be running on some form of Unix. There is no Linus, L-I-N-U-S, Linux, to my knowledge. I've been looking. If you go to a site called distrowatch.com, you can see all the known Linux distributions. Linux is a free operating system. And there is nothing called Linus on DistroWatch, which to me tells me there isn't one, because they have thousands of distributions, but none of them named Linus. My suspicion is Linus Torvalds wouldn't take too kindly to anybody naming it Linus. That's his name. So I am not sure. Maybe L-I-N-O-S? Maybe they've made up their own name. So I can't tell you one way or the other what that is. It's not something I have ever heard of. Jonathan in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jonathan.
Oh, hey, Leo. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so I'm going to be an incoming student and going back to school.
Good for you. That's great.
Thanks. I have two younger brothers at home who need the computer that I was using, although I wasn't really using this one program that I'm going to be using now, which is called SolidWorks.
SolidWorks. Yes. Yeah, a lot of people use SolidWorks. That's a great program.
And I'm just wondering, I don't have too much money. I'm using loans and grants to go through school.
It's also a very expensive program, yeah.
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 And I'm wondering what laptop would you recommend that I get? I'm kind of something that can run SolidWorks pretty well and not too expensive.
SolidWorks is a... a 3D computer-aided design program. So you're going to computer-aided design school, engineering school, or mechanical engineering, something like that. And I'm gonna look. I'm at the SolidWorks website, which is solidworks.com, and without even looking at their comments as to what kind of hardware to get, I could tell you it's probably fairly demanding. These kinds of things, it may run fine on older or slower hardware, but if you want it to run faster and in real time, and you probably do because it makes it a lot easier to get your work done, then you're going to want to get a faster machine, probably something based on the Intel i7 processor. You're going to want to get more memory, more RAM than typical, probably 8 gigs, maybe even more than that, because what often happens with these designs as you build them, and if you get more complicated designs and they have lots of parts, is it takes up a lot of memory. So, more faster processor and more memory are your first two requirements. I'm looking on their website, and they run on Windows and Macintosh. I presume you're getting a Windows machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those are less expensive. They say it'll run on 2 gigs of RAM, yeah, but whether it runs...
I have a friend that uses it, and he said you need at least 4 for...
Yeah, I'd say more is better, especially as you get more elaborate designs. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So the chat room has passed along a Wikipedia entry on Linos, L-I-N-O-S. Now, I thought he said it at U-S, but L-I-N-O-S is an embedded distribution of Linux. That means it's built into hardware. It's used by Aware Electronics and their A-Book products. Also used in Elonix 1, so I don't know if that's what he's talking about. In any event, I don't know anything about it. So, but in general, you know, your TV set, many of your appliances, your Blu-ray, a lot of appliances run on Linux because it's a free operating system. It's very easily customizable. You have the open source software, so you can customize it, modify it to work with your hardware. So it's a very common choice. I know my Pioneer TV runs on Linux. Not at all unusual. And I think a good thing. It's funny because, you know, Linux was invented by a graduate student, a Finnish graduate student. Really nice guy. I've met him many times. Linus Torvalds in 1991. He was taking a computer science course, and they were using a kind of a special-built teaching operating system called Minix, M-I-N-I-X. And he said it was terrible. He hated Minix. So he had a little extra time. You know, those Finnish winters are long. He sat down at his kitchen table. He wrote his own version of Minix. His name was Linus, so he called it Linux. But he did something very unusual. Because he was trying to create a teaching language, he gave it away. He said, you know, I'm going to keep the trademark to myself, Linux, so that I kind of can say what is and isn't Linux. But I'm going to give it away. I'm going to give you the source code. It happened at the right time in the early 90s. The internet started to take off, which meant people from all over the world could collaborate with him and improve this. And they did, by the thousands, adding to its features, adding to its capabilities, and still always giving it away for free and giving away what we call the source code, which means you could look at how it was done, modify it if you were a programmer for yourself. And many did. Then people went to the Free Software Foundation, where they were developing free open source versions of popular programs like Office. And they took software from the Free Software Foundation and they merged it with Linux to create what's called a distribution. That is, an all-in-one rolled-up thing that has the operating system plus the programs you would want, the system utilities you'd want, the installers and everything. And you download the distribution and install it. And there are many hundreds of distributions, as I mentioned. DistroWatch is a great place to go to find out about different distributions. LinOS is another distribution. Kind of sounds like a proprietary, that is, somebody owns it version of Linux. That's doable. You can do that. What's funny is that, you know, there are many of us have been fans of Linux for a while because Linux aimed to be a free and open version of Unix, which was the geek operating system since the 70s. And everybody, you know, everybody who kind of grew up in computing and those from those days, you know, revered and knew and understood and loved Unix. So for many of us, Linux has been a way to run Unix on our personal computers. It was available for all hardware. A lot of people used it. But it never really took off on the desktop. People often thought, oh, this is the next version of, this is going to replace Windows or replace Mac OS. This is the next operating system. And it never took off, partly because you kind of have to know what you're doing. It's not quite as easy to use as those consumer-grade operating systems. Nevertheless, I think I could say with confidence that Linux is today almost 20 years later, right? A little more than 21 years later, is today the most used operating system in the world by a long shot. The more than Windows, more than Mac, more than anything else. Why? Well, most of the internet runs Linux. Almost every server you visit in the world runs Linux, so you use it every day. And if you have an Android phone, guess what? That's based on Linux, too. Android is a Linux operating system. So given the number of Android phones that have been sold, the number of servers in the world, you use Linux probably every day. So it's kind of a stealth victor in this. I love it. I think it's great. And I honor and revere Linus Torvalds. He's one of the people, and there are a few in this panoply of geeks who have changed the world. And, of course, you include the for-profit geeks like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. But there are some who never made a dime off of it. Linus Torvalds is one. Jimmy Wales, another one, I think, deserves to be honored for creating Wikipedia. And never charging for Wikipedia, never putting ads on Wikipedia, and has made one of the most visited websites in the world, and gives it away. Those people are to be honored, I think. They've really changed our lives, and they've done so completely altruistically. 8888 Ask Leo. Rob is next in Tarzana. Hey, Rob. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Rob.
I have a MacBook Air with Boot Camp installed on it.
Yeah.
It's connected to a Sharp multimedia projector via Thunderbolt to VGA adapter. And for months, I've been able to view on a large screen whatever was on the desktop, whether it's in Windows 97 Pro or using the Mac OS. And now it works fine with the Mac OS, but it doesn't work on Windows.
They broke it.
Jeez.
Jeez, Louise.
And I double-clicked. You know, I've looked in Windows Control Panel settings to make sure Windows is connected to a projector, but the projector still isn't projecting the image on the laptop. And I know it's not the hardware because it works with the Mac, you know, OS.
Did you update Windows recently? Was there an update that happened that changed it?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, just stopped working.
It might have. It just stopped working. So I'm wondering if either you or the chat room might have some ideas about that, maybe things to look for besides the control panel settings.
You know, it could be simply that you're not mirroring to the external device. I would make sure that you're sending a signal out.
Well, there's the setting. I mean, but it seems to be working with the Mac. So when
but remember, Windows changes everything, right? As soon as Windows boots, because you're using it in boot camp, so it's taking over all the hardware. Windows, right. Whether it works, in other words, the hardware capability is there. You've proven that with the Macintosh, but Windows has to enable it too.
Exactly. That's why I go to the control panel and make sure that there is that mirror.
Does a second monitor work?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not that you can't get it out there. It's that it's not working with that projector.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I try a different resolution. And maybe, you know, sometimes projectors are not capable of all the resolutions your computer can send out.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's okay.
Yeah, try the basic. Everything will do 1024 by 768. And what you should get, you know, the Mac, I have to say, from years and years going back to Tech TV of experience, hooking up computers to projectors. In the case of TV, we had to hook it up to a device that would put it on the TV screen. I've learned that Macs usually do this pretty easily and straight in a very straightforward way. They just kind of work. And it's awfully difficult sometimes with Windows. We've spent a lot of times messing around with Windows trying to get that to work.
How strange.
So,
hey, Leo, may I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
I have a Nikon D7000 DSLR.
Uh-huh.
I want to improve my micro, you know, my sound, so I'm going to get an external mic.
Does it have a little mini jack for the sound?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does. I was thinking of a Rode.
That's what I use.
Yeah, they're a little bit pricey, though, and I'm wondering if there's something maybe just one notch below that that you can recommend.
Yeah, so the Rode, and I use the Rode stereo mic, and it plugs in, it goes into your hot shoe. It doesn't actually do anything with the hot shoe. It just uses it as a holder. And so it's a mic on top of the camera, and it's stereo left and right. It's going to be better than the camera microphone, and it's also going to pick up less noise from things like the focusing motor. But, you know, the other way you can go is with something called a Beech Tech. And Beech Tech gives you a lot more flexibility. B-E-A-C-H, just like the Beech, T-E-K. Mm-hmm. And the Beech Tech is a device, I mean, it probably ends up costing as much or more. But what it does is it plugs into that little mini jack port and then allows you to connect any microphone at all to it. It basically makes it compatible with studio quality mic, so you could use a shotgun mic, you could use lavalier mics, you could use handheld mics, you could use any kind of mic. That's kind of my preferred solution to this. I don't know if it's the cheaper solution. I'm trying to think of, you know, there are probably a lot of microphones that use mini jacks. The question is, how good are they going to be? And that I don't, you know, I'm not sure I have a recommendation. I think the Rode is pretty darn good. How much is the Rode? It's a couple hundred bucks?
$150, I think.
Yeah, see, the Beech Tech's going to set you back that much without a microphone, so I didn't save you money there.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something around the $100, maybe $100 range.
You know, I have on back order from Amazon a little condenser mic that hooks up to the mini jack. You know, I think that anything that's designed to work with the iPhone would do that, would work that way. But it's on back order, hasn't arrived yet. So when it arrives, I'll give you a review. Until then, I don't know. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ooh, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Talking high tech for the next hour. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. Our chat room is fired up. On all eight cylinders, all you got to do is go to techguylabs.com. That's our website. Click the chat link. You can get in there and participate. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. And techguylabs.com is the website. We're going back to the phones we go. Let's say hello to Gil in Northfield, California. Hey, Gil.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Hey, Leo, I got a question for you. I'm a graphic designer, And I'm wondering if there's such a thing as a laptop that has a Cintiq capable monitor.
Oh, wouldn't you love that, huh?
I would love that.
So let me explain what it is for people who don't know. Graphic designers love them. Painters love them. Cintiq is a monitor with a Wacom or Wacom. I like to say Wacom. A Wacom digitizer on it. So it's both a tablet and a monitor. So you draw on the monitor, just like a painter draws on a painting. And people who use it love it. My friend Bert Monroy, who is a great Photoshop artist, has two Cintiqs side by side. Well, many of the touchscreen laptops do, in fact, have Wacom digitizers. Wacom is the kind of the king of the hill on digitizers. So in a sense, you do get Cintiq on almost on a great many of the touchscreen devices. Even on, for instance, the Galaxy Note Tab, that's a Wacom or Wacom digitizer on there, which means two things. One, it's a good, sensitive, high-resolution touchscreen. But secondly, it also supports pressure. So when you're using a stylus, you can press harder and it will get a thicker line, and press lighter for a feathered line and so forth. So Galaxy Note. And I'm not sure, but I would guess, well, here we go. Phil has just put a link in the chat room. Well, I love this chat room. To tabletpcreview.com and a list of laptops that have Wacom or Wacom. What do you say, Wacom or Wacom?
Wacom.
Yeah, that's why I say Wacom, because it's just funnier. Okay. recent tablets that have Wacom digitizers. The HP TX2510 US, he says, is pretty much perfect, but there are others. HP uses Wacom, Lenovo, Fujitsu, the Lenovo X series. But I'm going to put a link in this chat room to this post because it's got a number of different devices and recommends some and others. What you're really looking for if you want a Cintiq capability is 256 levels of pressure.
Right.
And a high resolution so that, you know, fine lines are fine.
Okay, so all these things you're talking about, it already exists?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, So Wacom has been licensing its digitizing technology or even making the screens for these companies for some time, like the Galaxy Note Tab.
Okay.
The Galaxy Note tablet, not the phone. The Galaxy Note tablet has a Wacom digitizer on top of it.
Yeah, because I am an IT guy who actually builds computers and stuff. He's been building my towers. But I was asking him, does he build laptops? And he's been researching it, but we seem to run into a snag. So if this already exists.
It already exists, yeah. You say you want a laptop, right?
Yes,
yeah,
laptop
yeah.
capabilities.
So Lenovo X series, the HPs have them. I'm a fan of Lenovo's, but they do. Somebody in one of these forum posts note that the Lenovo resolution is too low to be accurate on one of these. So I'm going to put a link. Go to techguylabs.com. I'll put a link in the show notes to this thread on Tablet PC Review. It's on their forums because it's a bunch of tablet users saying, well, this one's good, this one's not. This one's great, this is not. Bert Monroy, my tablet guru and one of the greatest Photoshop artists ever, he says, whack 'em. I do know a number of internet cartoonists, you know, website cartoonists who love the Surface. A Surface Pro, to be specific. That's Microsoft's Windows 8 tablet. I'm not sure what digitizer the Surface Pro uses. Or even if it has pressure, although I believe it does. You know, pressure sensitivity, how many levels and all of that. But there's a start. There's a start. You can look at some places. Life is also giving us in the chat room a link to an article on The Verge from last May. Surface Pro Pressure Sensitive Wacom Driver Download. Yeah. So the Surface Pro does in fact have a Wacom digitizer. That would probably be your best choice. I know a lot of cartoonists who love the Wacom on the Surface Pro. Very, very happy about it. So there you go. Let's go to Jack, Riverside, California. I think it's calmed down a little bit there. Hey, Jack, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, I got you. There you are.
There I am. Sorry about that, Jack. Yeah. I picked you up, it was a party going on in the background.
Oh, I'm at a restaurant. I've been on hold, man. I used to watch you back in the day on the Screensavers.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What restaurant are you at?
It's Acapulco out here in Moreno Valley.
Sounds good. Are you having a margarita?
About ready to.
Okay. After the call. I'll come right. I'll be right there. What can I do for you?
I got a big one for you.
Great job. Thank you.
I'm trying to fix my son's computer, and I got a blue screen of death.
Ah, I hate that. How old's your son?
He's 32.
Tell him to grow up and fix his own computer. So what happened that you got the blue screen of death?
He was using it. The only thing he can tell me is that he put in a wireless keyboard and mouse I gave him. And then after that, he said it went to a blue screen, and it said dumping physical memory. Well, I tried.
Dumping physical memory is not meaningful. The blue screen merely means that something that either a driver or physical hardware is malfunctioning. You can't get Windows to blue screen unless you have, at least a modern version of Windows. What version is he using?
XP.
That's not what I would call modern, but it is true that XP, because it's based on the NT kernel, won't blue screen unless a program has access to protected memory. And that means a driver, or it could be a hardware failure. It is not likely that the wireless mouse or keyboard did that. It's
okay, but I tried putting in a new hard drive, and it wouldn't
be the hard drive. So what you're saying is every time he turns it on, it doesn't ever get to Windows, it just blue screens.
It starts up, and then all of a sudden it'll recognize everything, and then as soon as it boots up, after it sees the homepage, it goes to blue screen.
Okay, so that does mean that there is a driver that is either damaged or incompatible that crashes, and it has to be a driver. So the simple solution to this is to figure out which driver. So there's two steps to this. First, you're going to boot holding down the shift key or the F8 key to get into the boot screen. And you're going to boot into recovery. Let me see. Logged mode. So you want to log the boot log mode. Because what will happen is Windows writes a text file as it's booting and it tells you what's happening. The text file will read loading screen driver loaded successfully. Loading keyboard driver loaded successfully. The very last line of that text file will be the driver that's crashing it. Loading Logitech wireless keyboard. And that'll be the last line is the one that choked it, that broke it, in almost every case. So once you've done that, now reboot, because it's going to crash. It's going to blue screen in the boot log mode, but it's going to write that log out as it goes. Reboot, do the same thing, F8 or shift, to get to safe mode. Safe mode won't load those drivers anymore. It just loads the basic set of safe drivers. You should get Windows running under safe mode. Unfortunately, it'll be running in a ugly, 8-bit mode and, 1024 by 768. It won't look good. Doesn't matter. Because what you want to do is you want to read that boot log. And when you get to the end of it, that last line, that's the driver. Uninstall the driver in safe mode. And everything should work. You might want to download the new version of the driver if there's a newer one, or replace it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mario. How you doing? I'm just wandering around with my virtual presence. I think this is pretty cool. I'm using my double robotics to explore the studio while I'm here trapped behind the desk. This is good. What do you think?
It's great.
Yeah, doublerobotics.com.
You can sit and do the show, and your other ego can go explore the world.
You know, I was for many years a virtual character on MSNBC's The Site, so this fits me perfectly. This is my personality right there.
What was its name? Zev?
Dev Null.
Dev Null.
Although, it's funny you should call it.
Like...
He kind of sounded like this. He was annoying, just like my robot. Hey, how you doing? What's happening?
I thought I heard a similarity.
There's Jeff and John. Wow, this is kind of fun. This is kind of you know what it feels like. It feels like you're a Mars rover exploring a lunar or Martian landscape. You know, remotely. Even though it's just really the rest of the studio, it's kind of fun. Anyway. 8888 Ask Leo is our number. Just a few minutes left in the Tech Guy show, so I probably should get buckled down, get to work. with our next caller, which is Yvette, who is Yvette in Compton. Hey, Yvette, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Yvette.
I have a USB drive that a friend put music on.
Okay.
And I want to know, is there a way for me to listen to it in my car? Is there a device for me to get? I went on the USB Brando line site you sent us to, but I couldn't. I don't know what I'm looking for.
Well, you have a USB key, but that doesn't. That's just the data on that key. You need still something that will play it.
Yes. On my computer, but I want to be able to hear it in my car when I'm driving.
Right, right, which makes perfect sense. Your car may, or some cars can play it. For instance, I have a USB port in my car, in my Mustang, and if I put a USB key with MP3s on there, I'd be able to play them.
Yeah, I don't have a port.
But you don't have a port. So you need either, you could add a head end, which is, you know, an aftermarket third-party car stereo that would have that. You need something to play it. You need a computer, basically, because the USB key just has the data. It doesn't have any way of playing it. So, mm-hmm. so you need a computer of some kind. Let me think what the easiest way to do this would be. A new head unit would work. Is there? Let me. The chat room it might be able to think of something.
Is there anything I could get on the USB Brando site? Use
probably not. What you'd need is something that you could plug the USB key into. That would have an FM transmitter, because I presume you have an FM radio in your car.
Yes.
All right. So you need an MP3 player with a USB slot and an FM transmitter in it. I'm just looking on the website, on the web rather, and I see some devices. Let's see. Soundify. Aux MP3 player, FM transmitter for, yeah, here we go. So this is essentially, you know, I haven't bought this. I don't know if it's good or not. It's $45. But what it is an MP3 player you can stick a USB drive into. So that's where the music will come from. And then it has an FM transmitter in it, a little tiny little FM transmitter that would transmit to your radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you could play it back.
Okay, and where do I get that?
Well, it's called Soundfly. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It looked like Soundify. Soundfly, and Amazon sells it for $45. It's made by a company called Satechi that I know. They make some really good stuff. I have a Satechi lamp that is a LED lamp with a USB port. So I trust the company. I haven't tried this particular product. So okay. S-A-T-E-C-H-I. S-A-T-E-C-H-I is the company that makes it. Soundfly is the brand, the Soundfly Aux MP3 player car FM transmitter for SD card USB stick MP3 players with remote control. I think this, I have to look at this, but it looks like, yeah, it's got a USB port. Looks like you could plug in the, yeah, it lets you listen to MP3 sound files stored on portable memory devices like USB flash memory and SD card through your radio speakers. So I think that's the solution.
Okay, thank you, Leo.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. It's kind of I should order one of these and try it out. It's a clever idea. Let's see. Here we go to Jerry in Gardena, California. Hi, Jerry. Leo Laporte.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. When we're all done, I have something funny to tell you. But
okay.
In the meantime, my computer is just acting really weird. Like, when I do a restart on it, I've been on hold 40 minutes, and I pushed restart when I first called you, and it's still the little disk.
Well, that's not right. It shouldn't take that long.
I know. And so I always have to do this hard, you know, restart. That's number one. Number two,
okay.
Any file I try to open, like Word or Excel or anything, it does the same thing. It takes forever to open. I can literally get up, go get a cup of coffee, take a shower, come back, and it's still doing it. It eventually will open something, but it's just taking forever. So,
how old is your computer?
It is like 7 months.
Oh, that's not right.
Right.
Shouldn't...
So I want to do a reset, I think, and I do have Carbonite. And so my question is, if I do a reset, I don't have to back everything up, right? Because it's already backed up.
Right. Well, your data is, your operating system and your applications are not. So that is probably the right thing to do. When something gets that slow, when a computer gets that slow, it's probable, the most likely cause, I can't guarantee you this is the cause because I'm not looking at it, but the most common cause for this is a hard drive that's hard to read. And what happens is the computer is trying hard. And sometimes it will eventually read it, and then it goes to the next sector, and then it eventually reads it. And it could take forever, but eventually it reads it, and the program works. There are other things that could cause it, but almost certainly if you reinstall Windows, format the drive, I mean erase it, reinstall Windows, then log into your Carbonite account and restore your files, it will fix everything.
Okay.
I can't promise, but now there may be some things to try first of all. Because it's new, you probably have Windows 8 on it?
Mm-hmm.
Windows 7. You would know if it was Windows 8. So it's Windows 7. So you could do you have your Windows disk?
Oh, gosh, somewhere.
Yeah, see if you can find it. You're going to need it.
Uh-huh.
Because what you could do is run the Windows disk as if you're going to install Windows. But before it installs Windows, it'll say, hey, wait a minute, you have a copy of Windows. Would you like me to repair this? Press R. You could try that, too. I think that's not going to fix it. Because I think it's what's most likely and what is very common is that the hard drive's gotten a little flaky and that files are slow to be read. They are, in many cases, being read. That's why it's working. It's just working very, 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 very slowly.
Right.
So replacing it. Now, you said you had something funny, but we've got to take a break, so don't go anywhere.
Okay.
And right after the break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Our next call is on the line. Oh, wait a minute. Before we go, Jerry wanted to tell me something funny. Now the pressure's on, Jerry.
Yeah, now it's not going to be funny.
No, you never say it's funny. I just, one more thing I wanted to say, she says.
One more thing I wanted to say. Okay, yeah. So I have six kids, and I'm just some kind of...
Wait a minute, how many kids?
Six from 40 to 15.
Holy cow! I'd be in tears. I wouldn't be laughing.
That's funny. But anyway, I've got a couple of things that are impressive in my life, and I've won some pretty big awards, and I kind of think I'm kind of smart.
Mother of the year, obviously.
But you never kind of rate with your kids, right? They always think you're just...
Tell me about it. Absolutely.
Really old-fashioned and stupid and whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, I have two kids in college. One of them was home for the summer. And we were going to lunch, and I popped over to grab him, and he jumps in the car, and I had you on the radio. And we're on our way to lunch, and we go to get out at the restaurant, and he goes, "Who is that, Mom?" And I told him, "That's Leo Laporte. Do you know him?" And my son is getting an MIS degree and a business degree.
Awesome.
And he was so impressed with you. He's like, "Oh, what radio station is this? I'm going to have to listen to this guy." And I'm like, "Oh, wow. I finally have some credibility."
Jerry, thank you. You can say from now on, Jerry, you can say, "Oh, that's my close personal friend, Leo Laporte."
Yes, we talk all the time.
We talk all the time. We were just talking the other day. Tell him that. That's neat. Six kids. How many in college? Two in college?
Two in college, one in high school. Wow. The others are all done and have families of their own. But you actually got me some credibility. I want you to know that.
Oh, well, Jerry, I'm impressed. It sounds like you've done great in your life, and congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
I got two.
Thanks for the help today.
I got two kids in college, and that's it. And that's a lot of work. So you have my highest esteem. Appreciate your listening. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank
Take care.
Bye
bye. Bye-bye. Steve in Culver City, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I own a Dell Inspiration computer. It's about 3 or 4 years old, and the warranty is expiring from Geek Squad. And I want to know, do you recommend I buy the 2-year warranty from the Geek Squad? Are there any other aftermarket warranties that you would recommend over that?
How much does a Geek Squad want for the warranty?
They want, if you drop it and hit it with a fire hose, it's $300 a year. And if it just breaks normally on its own volition, it's $158 for 1 year and $286 for 2 years.
Okay. And the Inspiron's how many years old?
3 or 4 years old.
Okay. So the first thing you should understand is the value of that Inspiron is less than $250. It's like insuring a car that's 20 years old. Unless it's a classic, and believe me, there's no classics in computers. After 4 years, if the computer breaks, you'd be better off getting a new computer.
That's thank you for your advice. I was thinking about that, and but I again, it's been holding up, and thank God it hasn't broken down yet. But and we've enjoyed it, and I wanted your advice because
yeah.
we listen to your show and we value your advice.
Yeah, computers, you know, they depreciate at an instant rate. You know, there's and the other point, of course, is 4 years later, computers are faster, more powerful, more they have more capabilities, better screens, better hard drives, and all of that. Is it? It's a laptop. It's Inspiron. You said, yeah.
With a large screen.
Yeah,
large,
a 17-inch screen.
Of a desktop, but it's a laptop computer.
One thing you should do is look at what a comparable Inspiron or something like it would cost today, and there aren't very many 17-inch laptops out anymore. People aren't buying them because they're so big. So it may be tricky to buy a 17-inch laptop these days. So I would look around before you buy the extended warranty, which, you know, in general is not going to be a good deal. But there's the exception might be you can't replace that computer with anything comparable. So I would look around and see what 17 inches are out there.
And, you know, the reason we got this, my wife likes to have our kids, one in San Diego, one in Phoenix.
Right.
Like to take our computer with us. So that's why when my desktop died, we got this laptop. But she still wanted the large screen.
Right.
So we had compromise.
Right. That's perfect. And you can still carry it around, not easily.
Yeah.
It's a big...
We got a bag. We got a cushion bag. We carry it like the family jewel.
Yeah. So 17 inches are not as... prevalent as they used to be because people just didn't want something that big. But I understand for you, it's perfect. I would, before you make the decision, before you pull the trigger, in general, it's a bad deal. But before you pull the trigger, that might be the one exception is, can I get a comparable laptop, modern comparable laptop? You may not be able to.
All right. Listen, thank you for your advice, and I thank you for being on the air, because you really are very professional, knowledgeable, and you educate everybody, including us. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Very kind of you. Our chat room, somebody in the chat room just told me that Toshiba, which is not my primary brand, but it's an okay brand, does make 17 inches around $600. So there you go. You know, for $300, you could get a replacement warranty for 1 year, or you could self-insure. And if it should break in the next year, it's going to cost you $600. To me, it's better not to, at that point, buy the warranty. And I think it's going to, over time, it's going to be even less valuable. 2 years from now, you'll have paid $600. And at that point, it really didn't make any sense. Because you could get a better computer with better specs for the same price. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. Lee in Kansas. Hey, Lee. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello.
Hello,
Lee.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the show.
I see you every weekend. All weekend long.
Keep it up. That's good.
That lady just called in about the USB drive to listen to in her car.
Oh, you're a truck driver, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Heather told me you'd be calling. Yeah.
Yeah, you can put one in you can pick one up in the truck stop. It plugs into the cigarette lighter, and you put a USB flash drive in it. And
perfect.
It's got left and right, up and down, pause. And you can change stations in case you get interference, you know, from local radio stations.
That would make perfect sense that the truckers would use that kind of thing. Now, how much is it at the truck stop?
Like $20.
Okay. Good to know. Do you know the name?
No, I don't. It's over in my computer bag, and I'm driving right now.
But you use it. But you do use it.
Oh, yeah. I use it when I go home. I put it in my pickup because I don't have the fancy XM and all that in there. I got an old 84 Chevy.
One thing I would point out, of course, is that the FM transmitters work best in non-metropolitan areas. When you're in a big city, all the FM frequencies are jammed and there's really nowhere you can put it. But if you're in the country, no problem. There's plenty of open space and you can easily find a channel that's not occupied.
Yeah, I usually run mine down on the low, like 88.1 and
right.
stuff. And I don't, but there ain't usually too much down there.
Yeah.
Either that or it'll be low power station, so
exactly.
It usually won't override it.
That's going to change soon because low power FM is going to be coming in this fall and you're going to see lots of stations down there at 88.1, I suspect. But that's a good solution. And it's $20. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Nice Thanks. To know you listen. Drive safe. Wes, Outer Banks, North Carolina. How you doing, Wes?
Hi, how you doing, Leo?
I'm great.
I was calling because it's been probably about 6 years. I've got a MacBook Pro, and I'm ready to upgrade to a new one. The problem is that I love the fact that I could, you know, upgrade the internals, like the RAM and the hard drive.
Right.
But I guess there's a thing now that Apple did it. They decided that you can't do that anymore with the newer one.
Yeah, so the way what happened with the Apple laptops is in order to get larger capacity batteries in there, you know, the reason you could open up your old Apple laptop is because you could pop the battery, right? Underneath it would be a little slot for the RAM. It'd maybe be a Wi-Fi card. But they wanted to get more capacity. And, of course, the container the battery's wrapped in and really the guts that allow you to open it up and pull it out take up space, reduce the battery size. So all the new Apple laptops are sealed boxes. That's mostly so they can increase the amount of battery. Probably might have something to do with the fact that they don't want you to upgrade it, too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Or a small robot. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 88 Ask Leo, last segment of the Tech Guy program. Let's continue on to Greg in Springfield. Hey, Greg, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. Sorry to keep you on hold so long.
That's all right. Hey, I bought a used smartphone off Craigslist. It was a Galaxy S2.
Okay.
And the phone worked great for a month. I was needing a new phone, wanted something a little nicer.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, one of the previous owners of that smartphone reported the phone lost.
Oh.
So T-Mobile blacklisted my
IMEI
number. So now the phone is basically like a small tablet.
So this is the problem with buying on Craigslist. You bought it from somebody who had either stolen it or found it. Since the owner blacklisted it and T-Mobile's blacklisted it now, your only recourse, and it is a recourse at this point, would be to unlock the phone. Does it have the T-Mobile carrier logo on the phone somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a T-Mobile locked phone. So we've talked about this a lot, locking versus unlocking. When you buy a phone subsidized from a carrier, they lock it to themselves. They say you can only use this with T-Mobile. Now, once T-Mobile has blocked the IMEI number, you can't use it with T-Mobile. So your other alternative to use this phone is to unlock it and put an AT&T SIM in it. And then you can use it.
Is there any way to hide the IME number so that T-Mobile doesn't see it? So it'll still run?
Somehow modify. You know, you can with a MAC address, but I don't think you can do it with a smartphone, unless I'm wrong. I think that you're out of luck on that. You'd have to use it with another carrier, I think. No, the other alternative is to bring it to T-Mobile and say this was a stolen goods. Now, there's a lot of other possibilities. It doesn't have to be stolen. For instance, the owner could have reported it stolen, got the insurance money, and bought a new phone, and then sold it on Craigslist. So I'm not assuming that it's a stolen phone, but probably the ethical thing to do would be to bring it to T-Mobile and say, you see what happened here. I'd like to give this back to you, but I want a Galaxy S2. And guess what? T-Mobile makes most of the money off the monthly data plan. They'll probably give you a new Galaxy S2. That's about it.
Yeah, I took it in there. They wouldn't do anything to help me.
They wouldn't do anything at all. They didn't even take the phone.
No, they said that I might be able to trade it in. And they once they ran the IME and they said it was blacklisted and blocked, they wouldn't take it on trade-in.
And they, well, maybe not even trade it in. Just say, hey, I want to return it. They wouldn't even take it. They, you know, well, I guess, there you go.
I don't have a receipt or anything. You know, I bought it from Craigslist.
Yeah, I understand. So basically, I think you're out of luck. And this is the risk, unfortunately, of buying on Craigslist. I don't generally recommend that. If next one, you want to buy a used phone, and a completely reasonable thing to do, buy it from a reliable source. eBay has a number of sellers like Gazelle. That's the one I'd recommend. And that's because they're a sponsor, so I know them to be reliable. If you go to the Gazelle store on eBay, you're buying a used Galaxy S2 from a reliable source. It's not going to be stolen. It's not going to be, blocked. It's going to work. So that's probably the best thing to do. I think essentially you were taken advantage of on Craigslist. Not the first time that's happened. Happens a lot. Unfortunately, it can happen that's not a knock on Craigslist. It can happen anywhere, classified ads or anywhere, where you buy something from somebody you don't know. What I would do, though, and I might go to T-Mobile and say, Can you give me a, I would like, just don't bring up this IMEI thing. Just put this S2 aside and go to T-Mobile and say, can you give me a free Galaxy S2 or 3? They might even give you a free Galaxy S3 just to sign up. 8888 Ask Leo. I'm sorry you got robbed. I am, but you did. That's basically what happened. Hi, Davey. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello.
Hello. What can I do for you today?
Hey, somebody was messing with my computer here, and all of a sudden the screen went blank for just a split second, and all of a sudden I got this message on the screen, and it's taking up the whole screen. I can't make it smaller or minimize it. I can't exit out, and it's a message from Mandiant USA Security, Cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And it says, attention, your computer has been blocked up for safety reasons.
Okay.
And it says, if I give them $300,
yeah,
they'll on.
That's a virus. It's a lie. It's what we call ransomware. Often it says this is the FBI.
Okay.
It does say down there. Yeah, FBI. Yeah.
Department of Defense.
There's a guy who this happened to. I guess he wasn't too bright, who actually went to the FBI and said, I'm sorry, it says I have child porn on my computer. And they confiscated his computer, found child porn, and arrested him.
Oh, my God.
But it's not the FBI. They just were, uh-huh. This is a virus. It's ransomware. And now, it may simply be, now you've turned off the computer, turned it back on again, right?
You know, I did that. And then, you know, when it's an XP computer, so when it's coming on, I hit an F8.
And that didn't.
To give it a save, run it safe, and reboot it, and I did this.
No, yeah, they pretty much, these bad guys know what they're doing. First of all, it's a virus.
Okay. Now, I tried to put in my Norton antivirus disk in there, and it starts loading, but then it comes back and says, it's not proceeding anymore.
No, they stop it.
Damage your computer.
Yeah, they stop it. And one of the ways they do this is by attaching to critical system files. So all the Norton could do is quarantine or remove those files, but guess what? Your computer will stop booting. So this is one of the reasons it's very difficult to fix malware infections once they happen.
You know, well, short of maybe reloading the original disk that I got it with, which is the restore disk.
Well, do you have another computer?
I don't.
Yeah. Because there is an article from a couple of weeks ago on bleepingcomputer.com on how to remove this. The problem is, and you could go through this step by step and do it, maybe get your friend to download the information. The problem with this, do it on your laptop then.
I do have a smartphone.
Yeah, a smartphone will do it. Bleepingcomputer.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can see, as soon as I went there, I got the alert. Mm-hmm. Which says, Mandiant, USA Cybersecurity, FBI Department of Defense, U.S. Cybercrime Center.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know for a fact that the FBI doesn't, in fact, ask for $300 payment from some money pack coupon that you buy at 7-Eleven. I don't think they operate that way. Mm-hmm. So
not
you're
that, but it's $300 with a dollar sign after the value.
Yeah.
To me, tells me it's foreign.
Exactly. This is bogus. So the truth is, you know, you can try to remove it, but your best bet would be reinstall Windows because you don't know what else is on there.
Right.
Sometimes they put something on that is obvious and something that's not obvious, hoping that you'll remove the obvious and leave the unobvious.
Now, here a couple of years ago, I had the same problem, but it wasn't this right here today. It was something that, some kind of a bug that got in the computer.
You know, I'm out of time, so I can't talk anymore, but do reinstall Windows. I think things will be all right. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.